Okay, so it's Christmas, and one of my favorite things about Christmas is the buildup. It's not so much necessarily Christmas Day, but I feel like for about an entire month, we get to celebrate Christmas. And so this week, I got to do something that I really enjoy, and that was go for a walk. And I love going for a walk, and I was able to go for a walk late at night. Not 3 a.m., that's morning, and we're also sleeping, hopefully, at 3 a.m., but I'll stay at home, we'll put the kids to bed kind of thing, and then I'll get to go for a walk. And so I was able to walk downtown Courtney, which was really nice, because around 9:30, 10 o'clock, no one's there. I come from a town where there's usually people, and so when I went for a walk, there was usually like one person I saw, and then I felt obligated to say hi because they were the only person that I saw on my whole walk, and I just wanted to let them know that I noticed them, and hopefully they noticed me, so that we'll take care of each other on our walk as he walked that way and I walked this way, and hi, see you later, okay. He was also on the other side of the road, too, so it was... a friend. So I actually really enjoy Christmas, and I really enjoy the buildup of Christmas. I actually enjoy like this room right now. I can't really see you because of the lights, but all I see is the twinkling lights kind of around the room, and I actually love that. We decorate our house that way. Anne does a great job decorating our house with the lights, and as I was walking around downtown Courtney, I saw a bunch of things that I enjoyed. I saw the snowflakes, the half snowflakes on the side of the wall, and you see all the storefronts that are kind of, some of them have painted snow structure things on their windows, or I think it's the hot chocolate place that has these like lawn gnome Christmas troll looking things. It looks nice. I liked it, and I kind of like this buildup so much so that actually yesterday. Our family, we went for a walk in downtown Courtney to kind of check out some of the stores. And one of the stores we walked into, I was standing there and my kids were running around. And this lady comes up to me and she's like, "Do you hear that? It's weird." And I went, "No, I don't hear anything." And she said, "I know, this store isn't playing Christmas music." Like, oh, I thought this was going a different direction, so I'm glad that we're talking about Christmas music. But for me, it's really the buildup of Christmas that I really enjoy. I enjoy a light snowfall. We might not get that here from what I've been told, but you know, just that light snowfall. Apparently, it has snowed since I've been here twice. Someone was like, "It's snowing," and I'm like, "It also looks like it's raining." Like, I don't know if that's snow or water. But so when I see a light snowfall, what I actually mean is you can actually see white fluffy stuff that's kind of coming down. It doesn't have to stay, but I like that. It kind of reminds me of Christmas. It looks like Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, though, there's this idea of presents. I love presents. And for me, sometimes I build up presents like, oh, it's going to be this, and it's going to be the perfect gift. And over the years, I have come up with a three-step program on how to understand gifts. Because as I build up gifts, the other thing that happens is I get so worried about gifts. It's a three-step program, and the first step is this. Is that person going to get a gift for me? I never want to be caught where someone is giving me a gift and I don't have one for you. Now, if I have a gift for you and you don't have one for me, that's good for me and bad for you. But you've failed on the first step because you have not found out that I am going to give you a present. And so that's kind of step one. Are you going to get a gift for me? Because if you do, I have to get a gift for you. The second step of this three-step program is this. Now that I've discovered that you're not buying me a gift, I'm not getting you one either, okay? But if you are getting me a gift, and I somehow have figured this out, I need to figure out how much are you spending on this gift. And so, you know, the questions kind of change, like, hey, so is this the last time we're going to see each other before Christmas? Yes. No gift. All right. Is this the last time we're going to see each other before Christmas? No. I'm going to swing by your house, or I'm going to come and I'm going to see you. I'm like, okay. Chances are there's a gift there. Okay, so we're going to see each other again. Hey, are you going to have something for me there? Yes? Oh, approximately, you know, if you could put a value of the time when we meet each other, would you say like 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Like 100 minutes you need? Like, right? So how much are you going to spend? The third part of the program is this. What kind of gift? Like, works like this. So I've got to know Moses a little bit. And Moses works here in the office. And if you don't know him, he's always smiling. And he's probably always smiling because he's usually eating something. So far, I have seen him eat like noodle box stuff. And there was this one time where there was this sandwich that was probably the size of my entire leg. And I was like, is this like a community sandwich? And like, no, that's just Moses' sandwich. I was like, oh, okay. So Moses, he kind of likes to eat. And so Moses and I, we've come up with this little system here where, you know, Moses says to me that he's going to get me a gift. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I've got to get Moses a gift. And we didn't really have the conversation of the value. But I know that Moses likes to eat. So I go out and I'm going to treat Moses to something amazing. I enjoy these. I know it's bad, but I like them and I never am going to eat them again. And somehow I find myself back there at McDonald's getting a Big Mac. And so I've got this Big Mac for Moses because I know Moses likes to eat. And so I've got this gift for him. And then, you know, it comes that moment where Moses starts coming towards me and he's got this giant box. And he's brought out basically what is the greatest gift ever. And I'm looking at my gift, and I've clearly failed on my 3-step program. And the entire time Moses would be walking towards me with this box, I don't care what's in his box. Because all I'm thinking of is, this is not the same, 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 this is clearly not equal, my gift sucks. He could have a pair of socks in here, but he has totally confused me, and we did not talk about this. And then you almost feel bad. There could be socks in here, but you almost feel bad going, wow, I got you this, but, and then we come up with excuses. I got you this. It's just actually something really little. I kind of forgot a little bit. So actually, I have something more for you. It's at the store. I promised, like, or, you know, I ordered it online and, you know, the mail these days, right? Like, it's Christmas. And so everything's kind of a little bit late. And there's a good chance it's going to be here after Christmas because then I can buy something on sale. But there's a good chance it'll be here just after Christmas. I'm really sorry. And then we end up opening up the gift, and now I kind of know the value, and I'll try to just match it. Those are my little tricks. The thing is, though, when it comes to Jesus, we can never, ever, 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 ever match up what he has done for us. It's never going to be the same, no matter how hard we try. No matter how hard we try, it's always going to be unbalanced. It's always going to be, like, we can bring our absolute best, and yet Jesus has given us the ultimate gift ever. I want to read Matthew chapter 2. It says this. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the cities of Judah. For the ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Then Herod called a private meeting with the wise men and learned from them the time that the star first appeared. When he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for this child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. Here's where we're going to focus today. After this interview, the wise men went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. When they entered the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just want to thank you right now. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here today and to hear and to worship you and to kind of gather together as a group of people in this community. And God, I pray that as we kind of read this story and the gift that you are to us, God, that you would impact our lives today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and move in this place and that we would connect with you in a real fresh way today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Pastor Evan, he spoke about the wise man and the invitation and kind of being invited and how God speaks their language. He spoke by putting a star in the sky and the wise men kind of followed. And this passage that we just read said this, and they entered the house, they saw the child. So first they followed the star and they did not give up until they had arrived. Then they bowed down and worshiped and opened their treasure chest and they gave. You see, these wise men knew who Jesus was. They knew who Jesus was. There is no record in the Bible that they showed up to King Herod and they gave King Herod gifts. It's not there. They might have, but it's not there. You see, a king is in a place of leadership and a king is in a place of authority. And a king demands it. There are people, even in our world today, and there are places in our world today where it demands certain behaviors depending on whose presence you're in, and it demands certain behaviors based upon where you are. For example, I led a team on a missions trip earlier this year, and one of our meetings, this was actually what we talked about. When we go through the airport, don't be dumb. This is not the time to goof around. There was a time when I was a teenager and I went to the States with a friend of mine and we drove there because a third friend was going on a flight and it was cheaper for them to fly out of Buffalo than it was Toronto. And so me and my friend, we drove them down to Buffalo, and when we were in Buffalo, we were in the States, and so we kind of went into a couple stores and we bought some kind of knicky-knacky kind of things just for fun, and then we were coming back and my friend, he actually bought a Barbie doll. It wasn't for him. It was for his niece. And so he bought this doll and we're heading back across the border. And as we're heading back across the border, there's the guard and the guard is standing there behind the computer. And if I can remember correctly, I don't even think the guard looked at us. It was just kind of like, state your business, right? Like just very professional. And then the question came up, like, do you have anything to declare? And my friend said, oh, you don't want to know. My eyes probably went like, what is happening? The guard is like, we now have his attention. Try me. At this point, my friend realizes what he's done, and he's like, oh, it's, pull your car over here, please. And that's where we spent the next 3 hours. And then when the guard finally comes over, and there was a different guard that actually came over, the whole time he's like, it was just a doll. It was this doll right here, I swear. It didn't matter. We were there for a little while, and it was okay. We eventually made it home. But There are certain things in certain places where you have to behave. Like if the prime minister was to walk into a room, we have to stand up. Right? There are certain things we do with certain people. And the wise men, they show up in front of this king. And I actually like the beginning part of the scripture because it says, they went to the king and they were like, do you not know? You should have this information. And that's kind of what Pastor Evan unpacked a little bit last week. And then it doesn't say they gave gifts to the king. But when they showed up with Jesus, they bowed down and worshiped and then gave gifts. What it doesn't say they did was they saw the baby with its mother Mary, walked out, had a meeting about a meeting, figured out if they were in the right place, discussed what they should do, and then give gifts. No, it says they bowed down and worshiped and then gave gifts because they recognized who Jesus was. They recognized that Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They knew. They saw it. See, King Herod demanded the gold. He demanded the information. But Jesus comes and completely flips it. He comes in the most humble way. He comes in and is born in a manger, which is stinky and smelly because this is where the animals are kept. As a family, we lived near Toronto for pretty much most of our lives, and so we got to go to the Toronto Zoo quite often. We would buy a season's pass, and we would go there. And this might be weird, but I actually enjoy the smell of elephants. I enjoy the smell of rhinoceroses. I don't know if you've ever smelt these kind of animals before, but you can smell them from like around the block, right? You're like, the elephants are coming. I love it. I love the smell. Maybe it's because I don't smell it all the time. Like if it was a cologne, I probably wouldn't wear it. But it's just this smell, this body smell of these giant creatures where you could just, the rhinoceroses, we're getting close, right? It's fun to smell a little bit. Skunks. Maybe you're more familiar with skunks. You can smell them. I don't know what the distance is, but if you're a few feet away from the smell, you're in trouble. It has this smell. This is not an enjoyable smell for the king, for its family. They're in a manger. There's all kinds of animal smells. And yet, Jesus comes to serve. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this, you must have the same attitude as Jesus Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took a humble position as a slave and was born as a human being. Then he appeared in human form, and he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's my king. God has a way of turning things upside down. God has a way of taking something that seems impossible and yet making it possible, where we stand there with our mouths dropped, jaw dropped open, going, I really don't know how this all happened, but God. Which is fun to say, but it's so hard to walk through. You see, God has a way of just taking something and flipping it where it just doesn't make sense. I think this is why I like sports. Because the team that should win sometimes doesn't. They have all the right players. They have the whole team. They have the right coach. They have all the superstars. And yet often the team that doesn't have anything beats the team that has everything. I got the privileges of meeting Mike for the last month. I love your outfit today because it's all Toronto Maple Leafs. See, Toronto Maple Leafs, the team that should win that never does. But I've got to know Mike a little bit, and I'm pretty sure for about a month, he had all of his Hamilton Tiger Cat stuff on. Shoes, pants, hat, jacket, undershirt, everything. And they didn't win. Sorry to rip off that Band-Aid. I know it's fresh. I know. But God has this way of, just when it doesn't make sense for you, it completely makes sense for him. Because he's in the business of giving you the greatest gift ever. Because he loves you. God has this way of going above and beyond just to reach you. He puts stars in the sky to call people out. God is trying to draw you closer to him. And we get the incredible opportunity of approaching him. You see, each one of us, we have gold. Each one of you is filled with different talents, different abilities, different giftings. And quite often, we take our giftings that we have and we compare them to other people. We take the gift that I have and I go, okay, well, this is about as good as I am, and I wish I was that good. And we start taking the things that we think we're good at and trying to find things in other people where they're better. And then it kind of hurts us a little bit, and we're like, well, this is all I have, and they're a little bit better than me. And what ends up happening is exactly what I just did with my eyes. I took my eyes off of God and started comparing to other people. And symbolically, what kind of happens is, it's almost as if we take some of our gold and we just kind of leave a piece of it over here. You see, the wise men, they didn't give gifts to King Herod because he wasn't their king. Jesus was the king. They recognized who Jesus was. And too often we end up giving our gold away because we get distracted by the things around us, or we start comparing ourselves to others. You see, here's the craziest thing. God is not interested in the best. He's interested in your best. He's not interested in the best. He's interested in your best, which is completely different. See, I have three daughters. They are 11, 10, and 8 years old. And I had a conversation with Lily, our 8-year-old, about Christmas. And I can see that she's working through the 3-step program. She's gone, hey, Dad, are you going to buy a gift for me? She didn't really need to ask that one. She knows, right? So she's not really asking. She's just like, here's my list. So she's got step one. But then she moves to step two and she goes, okay, how much money? Dad, I've got a problem. I don't have any money. And I said, get a job. And she replies, I'm too young. No one will hire me. But you see, when it comes to my kids, it doesn't matter. They could come with a gift like this. And to me, it feels like this. But I also know that to them, it feels like this. But it never looks like this to me. I have a folder at home of all kinds of coloring pages that my kids have given me. Some of them are absolutely horrible. Like, they're white sheets of paper with like one red marker that's like, whoosh. That's it. But to me, that gift feels like this. Because as a little tiny 2-year-old who can barely walk, I think, can they walk at 2? Yeah, they can walk at 2. They come waddling over. And they'll hand you the sheet of paper and they'll be like, I made this for you. And then they sit there with their eyes like, do you like it? And sometimes when we start comparing, we look at this sheet of paper with this red line. I'm like, I would have really liked an iPad, but I guess I'll settle for this. No, I've never done that. I've got this sheet of paper and I'm like, this is amazing. I actually caught you making this. I saw you at the table, like, working on it. It took 3 seconds. But your little fingers, it took you like 5 minutes to, and then I had to come and pull the marker lid off. You see, it's not about the best. It's your best. That's what God is interested in. You see, you have these gifts, you have these talents, you have these abilities within you. One of the things I love about this church is the idea of team. I hear it all the time. Be a part of the team. Get on board with the team. Using the same example with the same daughter, I watched Pastor Daniel just before the Consumed Conference stand here, and he said, be a part of our team. And then he said this, challenge me to not find you a spot. And so I said, challenge accepted. And I went to him and I said, hey, I got a volunteer for you. And he said, oh, sweet. I said, it's Lily. She's 8. Where are you going to put her? Lily served the whole weekend in the kitchen. She was helping make sandwiches, and I think she had so much fun because she's also like me and a little competitive. And so she was trying to put more berries on the pancakes than the next person. And she had so much fun serving. What are the talents and gifts and abilities that you have that are your gold? And use them. Maybe that's all that God's looking for. Because the little that you have, first of all, reality check, is never going to compare to what God has. Never. But don't compare yourself to what others have. Connect to the King. Recognize the place where you are, because that's exactly what the wise man did. This year, I had the privilege of leading a team on a missions trip, and on the final day, we went to this school. And the school was in a mountain. It was on the side of a mountain, and it was just kind of like this square building that was all around. And on the inside was the field or the play area, and all the classrooms were around the outside. And so we showed up with bubbles and chalk and basketballs and soccer balls, and we're probably playing with like 150 to 200 kids, and they're all just running around doing all kinds of things. And there was a moment where I kind of stopped and I looked up, and what I saw was just above the building, there was this mountain. And then I realized we were literally on a school on a mountain. And I kind of had to take a breath. And I had one of these, like, look where I am right now moments. And slowly I started grabbing the rest of the team just one at a time. And I said, hey, come here. And they're like, yeah, what do you need me to do? And I'm like, I just need you to stand beside me for a second and look where we are. And I watched almost as every single team member went like this. I said, we have this incredible opportunity and this incredible moment. There has never been anyone like you on the face of this planet. Ever. And there's something in the water here in the valley, because most of you have a twin, is what I'm learning. But even twins, you might even look the same, but you don't behave the same. I have 3 daughters that have grown up in the same house with the same parents. One is a go-getter, one is shy, one is sassy. They're completely different kids. But you take the gifts that you have, you take your gold, and you do your best with it. We're going to have the worship team come on back up. Do you allow Jesus to be the King of your life? Do you recognize the place that you're actually in? The wise men stood before King Herod, and they said, my gifts don't go here. But they followed the star, and they found the baby with its mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshiped, and then opened their treasure chests, and they gave gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What's your gold? For some of you, maybe you have this gold that you just, it looks like this and it feels like this, and you're like, I want to be a part of the team, but there's 17 other people that are better than me. We're not looking for those 17 other people, says God. He says he's looking for you, because God takes this incredible thing that you have, this little tiny nugget, this little tiny piece that might not be big enough, and you're like, I don't know, this is kind of like a white sheet of paper with just a red line on it. This is not going to sell in any art store. In fact, they won't even let it in the art store. I don't think like this is worth anything. And God is saying, are you kidding me? That is the masterpiece. That's the centerpiece of everything, because you are the centerpiece of what he's looking for. You are the gold. He wants you to be a part of the team. He wants you to live your life to the best that you can. And the best that you can is the best that you can. When God came and asked the wise men to come, he didn't say, wise men, here are 19 things that you need to improve on, that you need to fix, that you need to make better, and then I will show you the king. They came. They came and they brought what they had, and they worshiped, and they gave it to the king. What is the gold that you have? When you were to open up your treasure chest, maybe there's some things that you feel like aren't good enough. Maybe there's some things in your treasure chest that you've buried. Yeah, I used to be good at that, but I gave that up because there was just some other people that were better than me. And even over time, sometimes what happens is our gold kind of changes. I did that, but now I do this. And that's awesome. Keep doing that. But keep doing that. Bring God your best. Because he's not looking for the best. He's looking for your best. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, it's Christmas. And at Christmas time, we celebrate you. We celebrate your birth. And God, we celebrate it by doing Christmas things and then exchanging gifts. And so God, today I want to speak to the gold. I want to speak to the gold and the gifts that we have in this room. And God, I pray that we would be okay with bringing our best to you. God, that we would not lose sight of who you are, but God, we would allow you to be the leader and the king of our lives. And we would recognize that you served. You turned things upside down. And so God, no matter where we're at, no matter the season of our life, God, you have a way of coming in and completely turning it upside down. And the thing that should happen doesn't necessarily happen, even when we want it to. And then there are other times where we want it to change and we want something to happen. And God, you just kind of move in, and what seems impossible becomes possible. And oh my goodness, I don't know how to explain this. God, we can never, ever, ever match the gift that you have for us. But God, I pray that we would bring our white sheets of paper with the red line on it, and we would be so proud, because God, that is exactly what you're looking for. You're looking for our best. God, I pray for each person here, and I pray that you would keep us safe, healthy, and strong. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom and the courage to always act it out. In Jesus' name.